Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rick. It's a real nightmare. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There was no athlete's fro that I related to more than Larry Bird's blonde bushel. And nothing angered me more than when Bill Laimbeer threatened to assault my fellow fro bro.
Laimbeer knocked Bird to the floor. Celtics are very unhappy about it.
Don't touch the fro.
Caught right in the jaw.
Yeah.
And Larry's a little upset.
Laimbeer was the dirtiest player in basketball, and I was the classiest carrot top in the press box. So fluffy.
People didn't like that bit when we did it. It makes me laugh every time. Rich even added to it because all I wanted to do was play scenes, play like highlights from big events. Dan Shaughnessy, of course, columnist, the Hall of Famer from the Boston Globe, joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Shaughnessy, hello, sir.
When did we do that thing? How long ago was that?
Like 4 years, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
You're a good sport. I mean... Oh, 2011, I'm being told. So,
oh,
a good sport you are. That was funny.
Then we had the Q-tip episode. Remember the Q-tips in the studio?
Yeah, that was just... I think that's the end of experimenting with your hair. I think that we've reached our reached about as far as that's going to go. All right. I'm interested in your Kyrie Irving column, and especially because I don't have a great sense of Boston sports history. Obviously, I've only been here since 2006.
Yeah.
And wasn't particularly interested in the Patriots and the other teams that all sucked. But it says, speaking of Kyrie Irving, have we had a more talented, more annoying, more egocentric, less likable star player in our galaxy of Boston sports supernovas? So you're talking about of all time.
Well, yeah. I mean, my conversation does stretch back to Ted Williams, if you will. So, yeah, I think all time is good. I can't talk about the Bambino, you know, during Prohibition. But, yeah, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah, all right. So what does he want, in your opinion? Because we've been trying to figure that out. I mean, he's going to get paid. He's on a team that he's the leader. He's the A1 star. He's on a team that's built to win. What exactly does he want?
No, it's a fair question. Charles Barkley took him apart in a recent commentary, and again, that what you ask is absolutely fair. It's what do you want? What's enough? What's the problem here? And there just seems to be this narcissistic need for the next thing. And, you know, does he want to be in New York with KD? You know, good luck. You know, go ahead, have Melo join you. You know, this is a good situation here. And he is just a guy, evidently, who the more he talks, I mean, the worse it sounds and the worse it gets. And we love watching him, right? I mean, he is so talented. He's better than I remember. I mean, seeing him in Cleveland, you know, you'd see him four or five times a year on TV. But when you see him the way we do now, he's really great to watch. It's a treat. So I hope they can hold on to this. But I have no idea where this is headed between now and July 1st, this year's playoffs, next year's team, what's going to go down. But I just get a sense that he's miserable and unhappy, and we're asking ourselves why.
Well, he did the thing where he said he contradicts himself constantly, and he said he didn't get into this for the fame, which, by the way, he's complaining about getting his photo taken when he enters the arena, which is I mean, like, why would you possibly care about that? And while he's being interviewed, he has an Uncle Drew hat on. So, I mean, like, and he's making some horror movie this summer, which is great. Go ahead. Uncle Drew was a formulaic success. I mean, I cannot for the life of me, like, is it because he gets insulted? Like, the media insults him? Because does he think that's going to change anywhere he goes?
Of course not. And you're talking about New York. I mean, give me a break. I mean, obviously, we're more of a handful than Cleveland, for instance. We get that. But he's an NBA guy. He's an AAU warrior from his youth. He knows how this works. And this can I just think, I think he's smarter than your average athlete. And I think that he really wants to push that and remind everybody. And it starts to get a little off the rails when he gets into these deep, deep thoughts.
If we go in the way back machine, Dan, to way back before October, prior to the Red Sox winning it all, you think Kyrie Irving is more of a pariah than David Price? Or do you think winning has changed that?
Well, I think Price pretty much hit the meter during the Eckersley saga. I mean, he had no support on that note. Because remember, everybody was mad at him for not winning the Cy Young Award his first year, even though he won 17 and led the majors in innings. People were still on him. Then he gets hurt the second year, and the team wasn't likable, quote-unquote, which they still push back on, but it wasn't in 17. And then that airplane episode happens, and guys are applauding, and he's proud of it, and he continues to pitch crappy and be hurt. That was the low point for Price. And I think that, you know, once he won that game in Houston last year, everything flipped for him. And now he's, as he said, he's got the trump card and he's playing it well and all that sort of thing. So good on him. But I don't know that Kyrie has reached a level of people angry the way they were at Price because of the Eck thing. Eck was so loved. I don't think Kyrie's quite there yet. But there are some patterns there. Like when Price would talk, you know, he doesn't do humor well. He doesn't do sarcasm well. Get off social media, all that stuff. Fortnite. I mean, it's just, it was pretty, it's, we shouldn't forget how bad it was for him. It's true.
Yeah, and if Kyrie Irving's smart and able to do these things, David Price is the opposite. I mean, David Price comes up
a lot of levels.
Real dumb.
Yeah.
So what did he say to you, Dan, about like magic trick or with the cards?
No, when I was asking about the trump card, he was trying to do humor, and he came back with, well, there's two jokers in every deck, right? And I'm like, oh, wait, is that us? Are we the jokers?
Was his eyebrows going up and down as he amazed you with his wit?
I'm like, oh, I think I get that. You know, it was just, I don't know, he didn't pull it off very well. He's not a comedic genius with his timing, not at all.
Which is... What the hell is he doing out there? He's just at the trump card, but there's two jokers in every deck. Mm-hmm. Well, you're a genius. All right, but do you think Kyrie Irving is in another stratosphere because he is like the guy on this team?
I mean, just if you just take those pullaway quotes that I isolated at the end, you know, where he says Brad Stevens has never had a player like me, and you know I'm great. I know that. You know, I get annoyed with my teammates.
Well, at least David Price's teammates like him too, right?
I think so. You know, I mean, even at the low point, that was one of the troubling things. The 17 was that they supported that.
Yeah,
because he was wrong, and it wasn't good that guys liked him and supported him, but at least they did, so they were somewhat galvanized on that. But I have no the Irving thing. I mean, these guys, you know, they're 12 independent contractors, and they're really wealthy and they're really talented, and everybody's kissed their ass their whole lives, so. You know, it's a handful. I got to think, if you could pump the sodium pentothal into Brad Stevens, he would just say, I hate these guys. This is the hardest year of my life. You know, I just think it's got to be hard.
Yeah, and, you know, people have made that point that Brad Stevens has, even at Butler, like he's worked with, when he had Isaiah Thomas, there were players on that team that were content with their roles. Like they weren't trying to put up 20 a night. Like this is his first... Kyrie Irving, like, behaving like this is got to be the first... Do you think this is the first time in his career that he's had to deal with something like this?
Sure. This is the welcome to the real NBA world. This is the world you've not been living in the last 6 years with the little engine that could and, you know, all the green team fans and everybody loves everything you do and you're overachieving. Now you're underachieving. You've got the superstar talent. You've got young guys who want more touches on the rock, all that stuff. And this is the world that the rest of the NBA lives in.
All right. Well, Dan Shaughnessy... very interesting column in the Boston Globe. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
All right, guys. Take care. Good to talk to you.
I appreciate it. There you go. Dan Shaughnessy.
There's still time to save the image, though. There's still time after all of this. Well, that, and everything Dan said is right. Everything we said is right. There's still time to save it.
That was kind of my point with Price, where it's like, see, I think David Price was more hated, and we were all more frustrated with David Price
and
than
John
Kyrie
Lackey
Irving.
Before him for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't, I still can't stand Lackey, but you know, he won a title and that changed the narrative. Lackey's another
specifically
Lackey's act. That's a really good one, and that was not one I don't think that Shaughnessy mentioned in the call.
No, he didn't. Lackey before Price, but Lackey won, and Price won. That changed things. So here we are.
If Kyrie wins, I think we'll look back and you know, not only will it change how we feel about him, I think you know we'll kind of maybe. If not forget this, it never reached the heights.
He doesn't
even have
to win a title.
No, he has to resign.
That's a good point.
If he resigns,
exactly.
Then that's a good point.
Away. Exactly.
You don't even need to win if you're Kyrie.
Because if he resigns.
Because it hasn't gone to the levels of Price or even Lackey. I'd kind of forgotten about Lackey.
But Lackey was
I mean, he was reviled.
Yeah, well.
Every little thing he did, all the hand gestures after an outfield misplays, a fly ball, whatever the case may be, people hated him, and he started firing back at the media.
I still hate him.
Well, okay then. So you're making my point. So we have that, and we have Price and now Kyrie. All of them line up pretty well. Lackey won, Price won, Kyrie doesn't have to. And still, he will spit shine his image.
Boy, that was a dumb shot by Hayward. I'm just looking at it
the
right
hell
now.
The shot he made.
There's only 2 seconds left. Yeah. But yeah, it was not pretty.
That's a low percentage shot.
Yes, yeah. Low percentage.
He dribbled the length of the floor and then took a fall away from the left baseline, moving side to side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not easy. Yeah. And he had to double pump it, too. He made it, though.
When you're staving off overtime against the Kings in March, that's not a great sign.
Here we go.
When Hayward can't beat Buddy Hield to the hoop and has to pull up with that shot, that's it's not a great sign, but he made it. He made it.
I missed you. Thank God. You finally got here. Good for you.
It's defensive stalwart, Buddy Hield.
I understand.
I have to admit, that's the first time I've seen the highlight.
Jones, I swear to God, the over-under is usually about 6:45. I'm impressed. You lasted all the way until 9:12.
Well, in fairness, we did an hour and a half straight of no sports.
That's a good point. So.
I was giving my hot no weekend shower takes is what I was doing.
Now, listen.
Hey, I'm impressed.
It's a slice of life, my friend.
Yeah.
God bless. Good to see you.
How are you? You doing all right? You can't give the people a... Can't force it down their throats.
Nope.
Yep.
Who out there really saw that shot? Anyways,
I admit I didn't.
I didn't see it live.
Well, Wallach did because he couldn't sleep because he's.
I was up. I saw it.
He was sad about Brian's basketball season ending.
I was very sad about that. Yep. Lost at the top seed by four on the road.
If you, as a morning show guy, if you stayed up for a 10:30 game, that is the most idiotic thing because you're going to suck the next day.
No, it's
10:30 is when it. When did it start? 10?
Started at 10.
In March against the Kings.
Yeah.
That's
no.
Well, there's a point where it's diminishing return.
No, yeah. You look ahead on the schedule. You're like, oh, Bruins are on the West Coast. Fantastic. Celtics are on the West Coast. Fantastic. I can go to bed early.
Yeah, because there's diminishing returns. I mean, if you stay up till 1 in the morning to watch some stupid regular season game, I mean, you're going to suck on the air.
Yeah, what the hell good are you at 6 in the morning?
I watch the highlights in 5 minutes. I'm good.
Yeah.
Marcus Smart almost turned it over and lost the game. Gordon Hayward fouled Buddy Hield like an idiot.
And then Joe Murray was fixed.
Yeah, he made the game winner. I saw the game. I didn't see the game, but I saw the game.
That
I got
made
it.
My morning. Yeah. Joe Murray coming in here all pissed. Yeah. It was fantastic.
Joe Murray gave us an hour of radio, my friend.
Yes, he did.
He absolutely did.
There's nothing off that bald head of his.
With guys with those voices being upset about gambling.
How much did you lose? A unit.
Yeah, not whiskey.
Not whiskey.
I lost a unit.
Check out the podcast. It's worth it.
I lost a unit. All right. We'll be right back.
Miss something?
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. There's apparently some giant accident. Now, where is that accident?
I think it's in the tunnel going north into the city.
It seems like a car fire. It says fiery crash in O'Neill Tunnel.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
Causing nightmare traffic delays.
Oh, good.
Woof.
That's the danger. Every time you go in one of those tunnels, I mean, anything can go sideways on you.
Yep. And then it turns into Stallone and Daylight, and everyone's trapped. It's awful.
Like, your human beings aren't supposed to be in concrete tunnels for that long.
Well, no. I mean, at least the city didn't spend, what, $4 billion to, you know, dig one out, right?
Yeah.
It's really helped traffic, too.
Yeah, I know. We're still the worst traffic city in America. So $4 billion, the cost overruns, the fraud, the original comptroller.
Are we the worst traffic?
Yes.
No, according to one study, yes.
Are we? According to one
study. We're worse than, like, the Bay Area?
Yes. Worse than Atlanta, worse than the Bay Area, worse than everybody.
Worse than L.A.?
Yeah. Hard to believe, but apparently statistically true. At worst, we're top five.
So that's good. So 93 north from here is a parking lot.
Yes. So if you're thinking of heading into the city,
that's just my commute.
Stay on the South Shore. But the best part is, if you live on the South Shore, you have to deal with Route 3 before you get to the expressway into the tunnel, which is double the fun.
So you got to go in the tunnel both ways.
Well, I mean, I can go around. That would be how I normally commute. I can go around it.
Yeah, you're playing Russian roulette with that tunnel.
No. Yeah.
If I had to go through that tunnel twice a day, I'd move. I'd find anything I could do to get out of that tunnel.
I am through that tunnel twice a day, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
No siree.
Nope.
Don't like that.
I think I'll be going south and going the long way today.
See, in order to avoid that traffic, I go through Dorchester.
Yes.
Yeah.
You live close enough to the city where going around makes no sense. See, I do not.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you got the big two-car garage and the
plow at
three.
Got the property, got the fenced-in fenced-in acres in back. Sure.
Can't even see your neighbors.
Nope.
Tumbleweeds rolling by.
Correct.
He lives right by like a reservoir that he jogs around listening to Pitbull.
Yep. All of which is true.
John has got a bigger house than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I do.
Well. He's a dual-income house, though.
Correct.
That's why.
Wife works full-time also. Yes.
I mean, much to the detriment of the children, obviously.
But. Yeah, right.
It's not that constant.
I know, we're horrible parents.
Well, listen.
Both of us working full-time jobs to make ends meet.
I'll tell you.
Terrible.
You guys are out working. They're cruising around looking for Momo videos.
That's right.
Yeah.
Kids are rudderless.
If anyone else is experiencing this is the first time I've ever experienced it in my life. And my son is, I've mentioned it before, but I just talked to my wife, and I don't understand any of this. I don't understand what the hell is going on. But this Momo thing has got my son, my daughter didn't care about it, has got my son absolutely freaked out. And he's saying his stomach hurts and like getting in bed, which means I have to go upstairs where it's 5,000 degrees and dry.
I forgot to ask you, does the CPAP machine go with you or once you're free of that bedroom?
That CPAP machine's a whole situation.
So that stays put. If you're sleeping alone, you don't need it.
And what it does is... Well, no, I mean, I don't, it's basically to appease my wife.
Okay, so, all right, so you're free from that.
So, but if you go through having the CPAP, which has humidity, it has like a humidifier in it, and then you go up to stairs to the third floor of my home, then it's impossible to go to sleep. I coughed so much I threw up this morning. Okay. I was hacking because I still got this pneumonia.
Dry as toast up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't throw up, but no, you don't understand what I'm saying?
Process of the lungs clearing themselves.
You hocked up a little something.
The doctor begged me not to go into work last week, and I said, no, I'm going.
And then you got kicked out for 2 days.
And then she said, don't come in on that Friday. Whatever you do, don't come in on that Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I got to come in.
The best part about that whole deal is when you sat down next to Rich, who is a germaphobe. And
yeah.
Rich is like, I'm going on vacation next week. I don't want you sitting here. You know, you're still sick. And Fred's like, no, I'm not sick, even though you were. And
I didn't feel sick.
I'm not sick. And somehow you convinced Rich to back off. I found that incredible.
But there also was a threat of violence.
Oh, that's true, too.
That I could snap at any time. Yeah, Anthony, go ahead.
Fred, your son's 10 years old. Stop coddling the boy, you know? You got to let him sleep. He's going to be in your bed until he's 18. I have a girlfriend until he's 30. You keep it up like this.
Well, the whole idea is that he stays in bed with us until he's 18. I mean, at 1 in the morning, do you want to negotiate with a child?
You're an adult. You should negotiate with anything. You set him in his room, you shut the door.
And then he comes right back out and says that his stomach hurts.
Yeah, put the lock on the outside of the door instead of the inside then. What are you doing?
That's right. I'll lock him in the room.
Chair
so he'll write a book.
Chair outside the door.
Most kids who get locked in their rooms emerge perfect.
Yeah, I might as well just give him a notebook and a pen and say, here you go. Start writing your autobiography now.
That's true.
Daddy dearest.
Lock a 10-year-old in his room. I'm sure everything will be fine.
Yeah, treat him like a prisoner. Like you would put him in solitary confinement. I mean, there's a point where it just you're sick of negotiating. I don't want to negotiate with him anymore. Not that I was doing it. I had my beautiful mask on. I took a trazodone to go to sleep. I was living life.
You had to listen to the whole thing with the mask.
I was in and out.
You're hearing the negotiation.
The negotiation had fits and stops.
Yeah.
Like it would go, and then you would hear a door close, and then you would hear a door open again.
Yeah. 10 minutes.
Pitter patter.
He'd be back.
Pitter patter of feet.
I can't with. I was actually sleeping. I was actually under the influence of trazodone, which is a non-addictive sleep aid.
Yeah, knocks you right out.
It aids you in sleeping. It's not like Ambien,
yeah,
which I am not allowed to take anymore.
Ever since you injured your ribs in a fall into the bathtub, if I remember correctly.
No, I think it was more going on Twitter without my shirt on in my underwear and filming myself.
Oh, that's a good point.
Ambien.
That's right. It's Ambien Fred. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I think that was the point where it was probably in my best interest.
But you did fall into the bathtub and hurt yourself, correct?
I did.
Yeah.
I was going to urinate. And, yes.
On Ambien, you really almost hurt yourself badly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
May said that's legal. Because the first thing you do when you take Ambien, I haven't taken it in years, but the first thing is like you just go, I want to fight it.
Yep.
Let's see what it's doing.
Yep.
And the minute you start fighting it, it gets like kind of fun. and then like the next thing you know, you're like laying in the bathtub like, why the hell? What the
happened?
Hell just happened? Yeah. There's a lot of downside to the Ambien. I don't suggest it to people. People who take it on planes, I am fascinated.
Yeah.
If you take it on a plane, there's no telling what you're going to do.
Yeah, what if you're delayed? What if you're delayed? Next thing you know, you're sitting in the airport and you're whacked out.
Well, the guy from REM peed in the cart, the beverage cart.
Yeah.
Because he drank a little wine, he took some Ambien to knock himself out, and then you don't know what you're going to do.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, and then the worst thing is you have no memory of it.
Yeah, he couldn't wash his hands out there.
that's the least of his concerns.
Yeah, you're in the aisle. Peeing in the cart, you can't wash your hands.
What if he did? What if he went into the bathroom
like,
and washed his hands? Excuse me. I mean, I know I just peed in front of everyone, but a man has to wash his hands.
I have a traffic update. We got people tweeting us saying,
I'm not an animal. I'm going to wash my hands.
the tunnel accident cleaned up. Jones still sucks. That's what somebody said. Yeah, that's what
I can't believe you get in that tunnel every day.
Yeah, but yeah. Well, I get home and when I leave here at 11 o'clock, I'm home in like 8 minutes.
Yeah, but the way in is,
I hate life on my commute in every day.
I'd white knuckle it through that thing like no tomorrow. And if you take the chance of going through it that often, you're going to get stuck in it.
Yeah, well, in a half an hour, that's when I'm going to get stuck in it.
But a half an hour like on the open freeway is one thing. And then there's another thing of being trapped in a tunnel. And I don't even know how they get the emergency vehicles in there.
It's going to take a while.
Got to pull out of the way.
Yeah.
How?
Hey, wiggle off to the side.
It's going to take a long time.
Sounds fishy to me.
Yeah. I'm sure there's like a secret compartment, a tunnel.
Your fear is being stuck in the tunnel?
Yeah.
I see. That's a reasonable fear.
Of course.
Yeah.
I don't really think
about that. I just hate the traffic in there. That's all I was talking about.
Sometimes you got to accept that human beings aren't meant to do things.
Let me ask you something. The tunnel, say, on the Pike westbound underneath the Prue, does that bother you?
No.
Because you can see the end.
No.
That's not a very big tunnel.
No, because you can walk out.
The tunnel where you see no end, that's the problem.
Yes, because you could walk. That Prue tunnel is nothing. Yeah, you could walk out of it.
Okay.
You could walk out of it, and you could go right into, like, a restaurant.
That's true.
Yeah.
Sustenance is just right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, you're stuck in that tunnel. There's nowhere to go get something to eat.
Nope.
You're trapped right in that son of a bitch.
Eyeing up the car next to you in case you got to eat somebody.
What are you in Charlestown?
Turn to cannibalism
what
in here. You're sizing
Hold
up
on.
A couple of cars over. Like, yeah, I need
just took a
it might come
turn,
down
man.
To that.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
what?
You know, you never know.
What if you got to pee? There's nowhere to wash your hands.
All right.
Yeah, I'm in Charlestown. Yeah.
You got to move before that kid gets older.
I may. I mean, that's
you can't go to the schools there.
Just a countdown.
Well, now
it's just a countdown.
Yep. All right, what is this? All right.
I hope it's a cannibalism phone call.
We have a lot of cannibals, you'd be surprised. Evan, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Long-time listener. But, Fred, I was listening to your story about your Ambien experience. I was going spring skiing with a buddy, and I took an Ambien. I didn't like flying, so I took an Ambien. I drank two Bloody Marys before I got on the plane. I must have blacked out on the plane because we got off in, I think, a layover in Atlanta, and I have no recollection of what happened. I got on a tram. I was talking with some women, flirting with them, and then I got back on the plane and got off. My buddy said, do you remember anything? I go, no, I have no recollection at all.
Yeah.
I was in a different city, different space, different time, with no recollection of what I was doing for a solid 6 hours.
Yeah, it's like it's a blackout in a bottle. I mean, usually you could probably drink two Bloody Marys. It wouldn't even affect you. But with but if you take an Ambien, it's like inviting a blackout. It's not good. Not good. If you want to calm down on the plane, you take a little Xanax. Come on. You're all right. But you can't take too many because then you get addicted to them. And that's harder to kick, they say, than heroin. Wow. I'm giving so many life lessons today.
I'm learning a ton. I am.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will have the headlines, and then we will get to the stack, including the sad news about Mr. Alex Trebek.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Oh, yeah. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And I still have no idea who Brie Larson is, even though she is in this Captain Marvel. Now, Captain Marvel is always a woman? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know.
No clue.
Wrong crowd in here.
Yeah.
Bird says yes, so no.
What about Nick? Nick, thumbs up or thumbs down? Always a woman?
That looks like a thumbs down back
there. Yeah, that's...
All right, Nick, come in here, because I want to know how you... I know you've got the big Twitch thing, which I'm sure has 1,000 people watching it
Nick
right
is
now.
Not listening.
Okay, good.
He's not listening. There we go. Okay.
All right. Hey, could you come in here, Nick? I'm curious about something.
Some movement.
Who stars in a movie? Actors and actresses.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
All right, so actors and actresses star in the movie. All right, so Nicholas, you love young, sickly Nicholas.
Yes.
Young, sickly Nicholas, who almost died nude in his bed.
Yep.
Would have been found dead nude.
Yes.
As nude as the day he was born.
Yeah.
Came into this world nude and left this world nude.
Very close to it.
Young, sickly Nicholas, considered obese by his doctors. But that might be the medicine.
No. I totally disagree with how they're ruling that. Mm-hmm. So that's BMI. That's not real.
Yeah, I don't know. What would I know? I know is I got boobies. I saw that you had a pill case the other day, like an old person.
I do. Yeah.
It tells you what days of the week on
yes.
it?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
How many pills do you have to take a day?
So now it's down to, it used to be like 10 or 12, but now it's 4 in the morning, and then, so it's 8.
So did this thing wreak havoc on your body?
Yes.
So like forever you're going to be, so your life expectancy is much shorter now.
No, it's not. No, it's. My doctor says.
Nicholas, you're going to die before me.
My doctor says I'm going to live a long, happy life.
Even with that, can you still hear the thing in your chest?
Yeah, you want to hear it, guys?
I really don't.
Here's the thing in his chest.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you can hear that. That doesn't sound like a long
That's
life.
A metal valve, right?
Yeah.
Aortic valve.
Okay, so if you go through security at the airport, do you get special...
Yeah. I have to show them this pass if I feel like, it could be an issue.
No.
It's a mechanical, device ID card.
So do they do a pat-down then? Okay. Well, that's nice.
Yeah, it's nice. I like it.
No, it's but you probably expedite the process, right?
Yeah. Right. Definitely. Okay. I haven't tried it in the airport yet, but every time there's like a big event and stuff, I'm like, hey, there could be a chance I could go off because of my
see, I'm not thinking heart. They give that to a car that card to a guy who's got long to live. I don't think that if you have a card that says like, hey, I get to go to the front of the line,
yeah.
They're doing you a favor.
Yeah. Do you want to read it?
No. Listen, you'll outlive me. There's no question about it. Let's be honest.
All right.
You'll outlive me. All right, so you are very into these comic book movies, correct?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, so you've seen them all?
I've seen them all, yeah.
Okay. Did you know about these stories before the movies came out?
See, no, I've been only MCU. I didn't read like the comic books or anything.
But
like
what
that.
Does MCU mean?
Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, stupid.
Like how you threw that out there, like, oh, of course. Yeah. Marvel Cinematic Universe. So, okay, so you saw the first one. Now, have you gone back and read the comics?
No.
So, did you know who Captain Marvel was?
To be honest, not really.
Yeah. So you just are at their mercy.
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
Okay.
I needed to watch it because Endgame is coming out in April, and that's what I'm really looking forward to.
Now, what's Endgame?
That's a new Avengers movie.
I thought they all died.
No, half the world's population is dead, but the question is, where do the Avengers go from here, since a lot of them got wiped out?
Got
so this Captain Marvel movie, I don't want to speak for you, Nick, but apparently this Captain Marvel movie is to introduce her as the savior for everybody, correct?
She becomes one of the part of the Avengers in the Avengers Endgame, essentially, to help.
They just let her in?
Yes.
Yeah, they, you know.
There's no pass? No test you have to pass?
I don't know.
Bam, you're in?
I don't know. So I guess we have to stay tuned.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. Nick could be Captain Nudenbat.
All the meatballs were gone.
The newest Avenger
movie. I didn't know where I was.
Low on the clothing
line. I was sick for a few days.
Don't need a cape for that.
Then my
cape is a sheet.
Yeah. It's the sheet around him.
Then my girlfriend came in because she thought I was sleeping around.
He annoys the bad guys with the ticking.
Yep.
That's the power. They're like, all right, fine, we give up.
His power is an annoying tick.
Yeah. All right, fine. Fine.
Captain Nude in bed. Like when, like Plastic Man or whatever comes in.
Yeah.
In the. I've lost my powers. All right. Well, listen, Nicholas. A long and happy life is what I wish for you.
Thank you.
You spoke to your father recently?
Yeah. I have to stop by there today.
For what?
Don't go north on the tunnel.
I'm not. I'm going
to... Nick, I want you to come and count it. There's so much traffic.
I have to pick up
my other son!
What? I have to pick up a few things in the North End, so I'm going to stop by and say hello to my father.
Good.
Yeah.
Has anyone approached you about how much they like your father recently?
Yeah, at Captain Marvel, actually.
That really bothers you, doesn't it?
It really doesn't bother me.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, Bird's saying it did.
No, it didn't.
All right. Okay. All right, Bird, Nicholas, go back and run Twitch.
Bird's stuff.
Kelly's road speed.
Go over there and run Twitch. All right. In sad news, and seriously sad news, obviously young Nicholas is healthy as a horse. But in serious sad news, Alex Trebek, the longtime host of Jeopardy and proud Canadian, he came out yesterday with this announcement.
Hi, everyone. I have some news to share with all of you, and it's in keeping with my longtime policy of being open and transparent with our Jeopardy fan base. I also wanted to prevent you from reading or hearing some overblown or inaccurate reports regarding my health. So therefore, I wanted to be the one to pass along this information. This week, I was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Now, normally, the prognosis for this is not very encouraging, but I'm going to fight this. I plan to beat the low survival rate statistics for this disease. Truth told, I have to, because under the terms of my contract, I have to host Jeopardy for 3 more years. So help me. Keep the faith, and we'll win. We'll get it.
All right. So he handled that well, and there you go. Alex Trebek facing a uphill battle, but hopefully he can overcome that. 3 years left on the deal, too.
Yeah. Are you a Jeopardy watcher?
I do occasionally, yeah.
Okay, because the first thing Wallach said to me today is you were pretty upset about this, no?
I wasn't upset. I just was curious. I don't know what stages mean.
Pancreatic cancer is no joke.
Yeah, pancreatic cancer is bad, and stage 4 pancreatic cancer is really bad.
Right.
I mean, there's the survival rate. He said low. I'm told it's close to non-existent.
Yeah.
It's like 3%.
Yeah.
You can't like that. You watch Jeopardy, you get the questions right?
No, I'm nowhere close.
Really?
No.
A lot of them are easy.
First Jeopardy's, double Jeopardy's where I struggle.
I answer.
They'll reel you in with regular Jeopardy.
Yeah,
then Jeopardy hits and it's like, you know.
Get about half of the
authors
first board.
Authors, please.
Yeah, half of the first board and like none of double Jeopardy. Just, I'm not good at it.
Like, but the best is when they have a pop culture one and it will be like, these two brothers. One drummer, one guitar player are known for their hot for teacher. And then the guy's like, then no one knows.
Yeah.
It's the easiest thing of all time.
Or you get Alex.
VH. They're like, huh?
But then you ask them some molecular biology questions. Yeah, they're off the charts.
The best is when you have like a rap category and Alex Trebek will like recite rap lyrics and ask for the guy doing it.
And they look like just completely.
Just hearing him do it. I don't care if anyone answers it right. Hearing him do it is great.
But he'll be like, this famous rapper and actor said, parents just don't understand. And they'll be like looking at each other like, what? But the people that watch Wheel of Fortune, that's just a pit of sadness. Wheel of Fortune is a sad, sad, sad thing. Because they don't even let you go around and pick out your gifts anymore.
Well, you kind of got to watch. I mean, if you're there a little early for Jeopardy, you kind of got to catch some wheel.
No.
You got to be a wheel watcher.
I think you catch a little.
Nope. I'm able to drag myself away from television when that happens. Hmm. Never watch Wheel of Fortune.
Fancy you. Some people can't time it out perfect. You're there a little early.
Yeah, you just
some
pick
wheel.
Up the remote and hit off.
As soon as they turn down tic-tac-toe, you were out.
I never
door.
Missed an episode of that. That I was on fire.
Well, that was when there was five channels.
Oh yeah,
four channels.
Yeah,
yeah. They had tic-tac-toe, Joker's Wild, and then you go back and you look at them on the Game Show Network, and you go, "Oh my God, am I old?" Like these things that people are wearing. I was living while this was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize that 44, is that really middle age?
Right.
Because you'd have to live to 88.
And at some point, there's going to be people with flat brims and no pockets on this, and you're going to look back and be like, what?
Yeah, flat brims are out the window. No more flat brims. No more
revelation
flat brims
in the morning right there. That is the stunning revelation of this morning. And it was like a casual throwaway thing by you. I mean,
yeah.
I think that stunned most of the audience.
Yeah. I mean, I know about street culture. I know about fashion, and that's where I'm going right now, as I'm telling you that there's no more flat brims.
All right.
I do it for my culture, you know? All right, we'll be back. We'll find out what Zolak and Bertrand have on the way.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.